All right, so looks like we're diving deep into cloud data security today.
Yeah, we are.
Cool. We've got, let me see.
We've got some great material to work with.
Yeah, we've got this excerpt from a book about keeping information safe in the cloud. And it looks like it's specifically focused on domain two, cloud data security.
That's right.
So get ready because we're going to unpack a lot.
Yeah,
We're
there's
just going
a
to unpack the life cycle of data in the cloud.
right.
We'll explore different cloud storage types,
Jose.
and then we'll even uncover some of the essential technologies like encryption and data loss prevention.
Those are important ones.
Yeah. Oh, and also we'll tackle data retention policies.
Okay.
And did you know that there's actually a way to destroy data in the cloud without even touching the hardware?
Yeah, that's right. It's pretty fascinating stuff.
It is.
We'll definitely get into
You'll
that
get into that a bit
a
later.
little bit later, yeah.
But let's start with a concept that might seem basic, but
It's absolutely crucial in the cloud, and that's the data life cycle.
okay, so data lifecycle. I'm picturing like a circle of life, but for data, for ones and zeros.
Yeah, well, you're not far off.
Okay.
Think of it as the journey your data takes.
Okay.
It's created, it's stored, it's used, shared, maybe archived for a while,
Okay.
and ultimately destroyed. And just like you would protect a valuable package in transit,
Yeah.
security is critical at every single stage of this journey, not just when the data is at rest.
That's a great analogy. And actually, our source uses this simple example to illustrate this, saving a file to a shared drive. You're creating the data, but you might also be sharing it simultaneously. And the cloud makes these actions happen so
It
fast
does. It's all very dynamic.
and dynamically. So how do we even begin to secure something that's constantly on the move like that?
Yeah, that's where things get interesting, you know? It's not about building a fortress around a static server anymore.
Right.
You need to think about security as a continuous process, adapting to how your data flows in the cloud.
I see.
So imagine for a second that it's your data,
Okay.
an email, a photo, a document
Okay.
going through this journey.
Yeah.
Are you thinking about security differently now?
Absolutely. It's a whole new way of looking at things.
Yeah, it is.
Speaking of new perspectives, let's talk about cloud storage.
Okay.
Now, I'll admit this topic can get a bit, dense,
It can.
but
But it's a good one.
it is a good one. And this source does a great job of breaking down the different types of cloud storage architectures.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
People often think of the cloud as just one big thing,
Right.
but there are actually different service models,
Oh, okay.
each with its own storage types and security
Oh, I
implications.
see.
So you've got infrastructure as a service, that
Okay.
platform as a service, and software as a service, SaaS.
So it's like choosing the right type of vehicle for your data, depending on where it needs to go and how much control you want over the journey.
Exactly. I
Okay.
like that. So with IaaS,
Yeah.
you're basically renting the virtual hardware,
Okay.
giving you lots of flexibility, but also more responsibility for security.
Okay.
IaaS gives you a platform to build and deploy applications,
Right.
abstracting away some of the infrastructure management.
Okay.
And with SaaS, you're just using the software with the
Right.
storage handled behind the scenes.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, within these models, are there certain storage types that really stand out in your experience?
Definitely. Let's start with something called ephemeral storage.
Ephemeral storage.
Oh, this stuff is fascinating because it's designed to vanish. So
Okay.
you power down a virtual machine
Yeah.
and poof, the data's gone. Like it was never there.
Wow.
It's ideal for temporary data that doesn't need to be stored long term.
That's incredible. It's like having a self-destruct button for your data.
It is.
Okay, what else? What else is there?
Well, we have object storage.
Object storage, okay.
Think of this as a massive virtual warehouse
Okay.
where your data lives as objects. This is how services like Amazon S3 work.
Okay.
It's incredibly scalable and great for storing large amounts of data,
Right.
but you need to be mindful of how you organize and manage it for security purposes.
So it's like having a giant filing cabinet in the cloud. But you better label everything properly.
You gotta, or you'll lose track of it all.
Yeah. Okay. One more intriguing storage type. What's next?
How about content delivery networks or CDNs?
Okay. CDNs. Yeah.
Ever wonder how streaming services keep those videos coming without buffering?
Yeah. For sure.
That's CDNs at work.
Wow.
They're all about speed and efficiency, caching data closer to users for faster delivery.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So we've got self-destructing data.
Right.
Giant warehouses and speed demons.
Exactly.
Yeah. Here's the million-dollar question.
Okay.
What kind of storage does your business rely on?
Right.
And does this raise any new questions about how that data is being protected?
Because it's not a one-size-fits-all approach.
Yeah.
Understanding the different storage types is that first step towards implementing effective security measures.
Now let's dive into some of those essential security technologies that we can apply across different storage models.
Okay.
And I have to say, this next one is always a fan favorite, encryption.
It's a good one. It's a fundamental pillar of cloud data security.
Yeah.
Think of it like turning your data into unreadable gibberish without the right key.
Like a secret code that only you can decipher.
Yeah, exactly.
But I know there's more to it than just flipping an encryption switch, right?
Right. There are different levels of encryption, okay, from encrypting data as it travels across the network, yeah, to encrypting entire storage drives.
Okay.
And then there's the crucial aspect of key management.
Okay.
A crypto system is only as secure as its weakest link.
If your encryption keys are compromised, the entire system falls apart.
So it's like having a high-tech safe.
Yeah.
But leaving the combination written on a sticky note.
Exactly. It defeats the purpose.
It really does.
Protecting those keys is absolutely paramount.
Right.
And many cloud providers offer something called hardware security modules,
right,
or HSMs.
HSMs, so.
Which are like digital vaults for your keys.
Wow.
Think Fort Knox, but for your encryption keys.
That's impressive.
It is.
But encryption can also be implemented at different layers, right?
Yes, you're right.
Like at the storage level,
uh-huh,
or even the application level.
Yeah, so storage level encryption might protect against the physical theft of a hard drive.
Right.
But what if a rogue administrator gains access to your cloud environment?
Oh, I see.
That's where application level encryption comes in.
Okay.
You control the keys at the application level.
Right.
Meaning even the cloud provider can't access your data without your permission.
It's like having your own personal security detail, even in someone else's house.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay, so we've got encryption covered.
Yeah.
What about making sure our data hasn't been tampered with?
Yeah.
I know there's a clever tool for that.
You're talking about hashing.
Hashing, okay.
Hashing is like creating a unique digital fingerprint for your data.
Okay.
It ensures that the data hasn't been altered in any way.
So if even a single bit of data changes,
yeah,
the hash value changes completely.
Exactly. It's incredibly sensitive to changes.
Wow.
Think about downloading software online.
Okay.
How do you know it's really from the developer?
Yeah, right.
And hasn't been modified with some malicious code.
Right.
That's where digital signatures come in.
I see.
Using hashing to verify both the authenticity and the integrity of the software.
That makes me feel a lot better about all the software I download. It's like having a guarantee that you're getting the real deal straight from the source.
Exactly. That's a good way to think about it.
So hashing is like having this silent guardian watching over your data,
yeah,
and alerting you if anything fishy is going on.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so we've got encryption for confidentiality.
Mm-hmm.
And hashing for integrity.
Right.
What about actually preventing sensitive data from leaking out of our organization?
Right.
I know there's a tool for that too.
You're thinking about data loss prevention?
Data loss prevention or DLP?
DLP, yeah.
I like to imagine a DLP system as like a security guard.
Okay.
Standing at the door and stopping a sensitive file from being emailed outside the company.
That's a great image.
Right.
And DLP is not just about preventing data from leaving.
Okay.
It can also help you discover and classify your data in the first place.
Right.
Identifying where your sensitive information is stored.
Okay.
And how it's being used.
So it's like having a data detective.
Yeah.
Sniffing out sensitive information.
That's right.
And making sure it's handled properly.
Yeah.
But I imagine DLP can be tricky to implement.
It can be, yeah.
Especially with unstructured data like emails and documents.
Yeah. Unstructured data is a whole other challenge.
Yeah.
And we could definitely dive deeper into that in a future deep dive.
For sure.
For sure. But for now, let's talk about some techniques that are closely related to DLP.
Okay.
Data masking and tokenization.
Ooh, masking sounds intriguing.
Yeah, it's all about hiding or disguising specific elements of data for certain use cases.
Okay.
So, for example, imagine your HR system stores social security numbers.
Right.
But not everyone who accesses the system needs to see the full number.
Right.
You could mask the first 5 digits and only display the last 4.
Right, which might be all that's needed for verification purposes.
Exactly. It minimizes the risk of unauthorized exposure.
Right.
While still allowing legitimate oath of the data.
That's clever.
Yeah.
And then there's tokenization, which sounds a bit like something out of a spy movie.
Yeah, it is. It is. Tokenization is similar to masking.
Right.
But instead of hiding part of the data, you replace the sensitive information with a unique token.
Okay.
This is commonly used in online payments.
Right.
Your actual credit card number isn't stored everywhere you shop.
Right.
It's replaced with a token.
That definitely makes me feel better about online shopping.
It should.
So both masking and tokenization are about finding clever ways to protect sensitive data without disrupting the flow of business.
Precisely.
Yeah.
But as with DLP, these techniques can be tricky to apply to unstructured data.
Right, like a sensitive phrase buried within a paragraph of text.
Exactly.
Ah, so we're back to that challenge of unstructured data.
We are.
It seems like that's a recurring theme in cloud security.
It is.
But maybe we can tackle that in another deep dive.
Definitely.
For now, I think we've covered a lot of ground.
I agree.
What's next on our data security journey?
Well, we've talked about protecting data while it's in use and at rest.
Right.
But what happens when data reaches the end of its useful life?
Well,
that's where data retention, deletion, and archiving policies come into play.
Okay.
And trust me, it's a lot more complex than just hitting the delete button.
Sounds like we're heading into some uncharted territory. I'm ready to explore.
Great. Let's pick this up in the next part of our deep dive.
All right. We're back and ready to tackle a topic that I think often gets overlooked in the world of cloud data security: data retention, deletion, and archiving.
It's true.
We've talked about protecting data in motion and at rest.
Right.
But what happens when data reaches the end of its useful life?
Yeah.
Do we just hit the delete button and call it a day?
Not so fast.
Okay.
It's not always that simple.
Right.
You know, even though data might not be actively used,
there
are often legal and regulatory requirements that dictate how long we need to keep it.
Right, right.
And let's not forget about business needs.
Okay.
Sometimes you need to hold on to data for historical analysis or compliance audits, even if it's not part of your day-to-day operations.
So it's like finding the right balance.
Yeah.
Between keeping what you need and not hoarding digital clutter.
Exactly. And that's where data retention policies come in.
Okay.
These policies outline what data needs to be kept for how long and for what purpose.
Right.
It's about striking that balance
between
operational needs, compliance requirements, and even cost considerations.
Because storing data, especially in the cloud, isn't free.
Right. You're essentially renting storage space.
Right.
So you don't want to be paying for data that you just don't need.
For sure.
The good news is that cloud services can actually simplify data retention in some ways.
Okay.
Many providers offer built-in features that make it easier to manage this whole process.
That's reassuring. So it's not all doom and gloom.
No, not at all.
When it comes to data retention in the cloud.
Many cloud storage services provide high availability and durability for your data.
Okay.
Meaning it's replicated and protected against loss.
Right.
Some even offer compliance-focused retention features.
Oh, okay.
Helping you meet specific regulatory requirements.
So you're not just storing data, you're getting a whole suite of data management capabilities.
That's right, that's right.
But I imagine there's still a need for careful planning and configuration.
Oh, absolutely.
To ensure these services align with your organization's specific policies.
Don't just assume that the cloud provider will take care of everything.
Right.
You need to be actively involved in setting up and managing your retention policies.
Okay.
And this brings us to another important consideration: storage tiers.
Okay, storage tiers. Remind me what those are again.
So not all data needs to be accessible instantly.
Right.
Some data can be archived and retrieved less frequently.
Right.
Cloud providers offer different storage options based on these needs.
Okay.
You might have a hot storage tier for data you access frequently.
Right.
And a cold storage tier for archived data.
Our source uses a fun analogy for that.
Oh, yeah.
Rabbit storage versus turtle storage.
I love that.
Right.
So rabbit storage is fast and expensive, like a rabbit darting around. It's perfect for data you need to access quickly.
Makes sense.
Turtle storage is slower and more affordable, like a turtle taking its time.
Okay.
It's a great option for data that you don't need to access frequently, like archives.
So choosing the right storage tier can significantly impact costs.
It really can.
It's not just about speed. It's about finding the right balance between accessibility and affordability.
Yeah, exactly.
Now that we've talked about retaining data,
yeah,
let's shift gears and talk about the opposite. Data deletion.
Okay.
This might seem like a simple concept,
right?
But it's often more complicated than it sounds, especially in the cloud.
It is.
Because just hitting delete doesn't always mean the data is gone forever. It's not like throwing a piece of paper in the trash.
Right. In the cloud, data might be replicated across multiple servers.
Okay.
Or even geographically dispersed.
Right.
And then there are security and privacy implications to consider.
Right.
You can't just throw sensitive data in the digital trash and hope for the best.
So how do we ensure that data is truly deleted in the cloud?
Well, our source points to a set of guidelines from the National Institute of Standards and Technology, specifically NIST SP 888, which outlines different levels of data deletion or media sanitization, as they call it.
Media sanitization.
It's like a hierarchy of data destruction.
Okay, a hierarchy of data destruction.
From simply clearing data
to
completely obliterating it.
That sounds intense. So what are some of the levels in this hierarchy?
Well, the simplest level is clear,
which
involves removing data from user-accessible storage.
Okay.
Think of it like deleting a file from your computer's recycle bin.
Right, but we all know that data can often be recovered.
Oh, absolutely.
Even after it's been deleted from the recycle bin.
Yes, so what are some of the more robust options?
Yeah, what are those?
Well, we have Purge.
Purge, okay.
Which uses specialized tools to overwrite data multiple times.
Okay.
Or even physically destroy the storage media.
Wow, that's definitely more thorough.
It is.
But I imagine physical destruction isn't always feasible.
Right.
Especially in cloud environments where you don't have physical access to the storage hardware.
You're right. Physical destruction is not always practical or possible in the cloud.
Right.
And that's where cryptographic erasure comes in.
Cryptographic erasure, okay.
It's a particularly interesting option for cloud environments.
How does that work?
It's actually quite clever.
Okay.
It involves encrypting the data.
Right.
And then securely destroying the encryption keys.
Okay.
So even if someone gets their hands on the data, it's just a jumble of unreadable gibberish without the keys.
It's like locking your data in a vault and throwing away the key.
Exactly.
Okay, so with so many options for data deletion, how do you choose the right method?
It really depends on the sensitivity of the data,
right?
The costs involved, and the available options in your cloud environment.
So sometimes a combination of methods is the best approach.
It often is,
Right. Okay, for example, you might encrypt sensitive data,
right?
And then use a purging tool to overwrite the encrypted data.
So it's like adding layers of security to ensure that data is truly gone when it needs to be.
That's right.
Okay, so we've covered data retention and deletion.
Right.
What about data archiving?
So data archiving is all about long-term storage of data that's no longer actively used, but still needs to be retained.
Right.
It's like putting your data in a time capsule for safekeeping.
That's a great way to think about it.
Yeah.
But why would you archive data instead of just deleting it?
Well, archiving can help you optimize storage costs.
Okay.
By moving infrequently accessed data to cheaper storage tiers.
Right, like that turtle storage we were talking about.
Exactly, exactly. And it can also help you meet those regulatory retention requirements we discussed.
So it's a way to save money and stay compliant.
It is, it is.
But I imagine there's still security considerations with archived data, right?
You don't want someone stumbling upon a treasure trove of old data.
No, you don't.
That you thought was safely tucked away.
That's right.
You also need to have a plan for retrieving that data if you ever need it.
Yes, definitely.
What if the technology for accessing that data becomes obsolete?
That's a great point.
Like trying to open a floppy disk without a floppy drive?
Exactly. You need to think about data formats and encryption algorithms when archiving data.
Right.
The tools and technologies we use today might not be around in the future.
Right.
So you might need to migrate archived data to newer formats or re-encrypt it periodically to ensure it remains accessible and secure.
It's like future-proofing your data archive.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're not left with a bunch of unreadable files down the road.
You don't want to do that.
Okay, so all of this careful planning around data retention, deletion, and archiving can be thrown for a loop by something called a legal hold.
Oh, yes, legal holds.
A legal hold. That sounds ominous.
It can be. A legal hold essentially puts a freeze on deleting certain data,
okay,
even if it's past its normal retention period.
Right.
This often happens when an organization is involved in litigation, okay. is under investigation, or is subject to a regulatory inquiry.
So it's like your data gets stuck in legal limbo.
Exactly.
Okay.
You might have a bunch of data that you'd normally delete.
Right.
And now you have to keep it until that legal hold is lifted.
Right.
This can create all sorts of challenges.
Right.
From identifying the specific data that needs to be preserved.
Yeah.
To figuring out how to exclude that data from your normal deletion processes.
It sounds like legal holds can throw a real wrench into your carefully planned data management processes.
They can. They absolutely can.
Okay.
And this highlights the importance of having robust systems and processes in place to handle legal holds effectively.
Right.
You need to be able to quickly identify and isolate the data that's subject to a legal hold and ensure that it's properly preserved and protected.
It's a good reminder that data management isn't just about technology.
No, it's not.
It's also about legal and compliance considerations.
Absolutely.
Now, even with the best retention, deletion, and archiving policies in place, things can still go wrong.
It's true.
Data breaches happen.
Mm-hmm.
Mistakes are made.
It happens.
And sometimes you just need to figure out what happened and who was involved.
Right.
That's where auditability, traceability, and accountability of data events come into play.
That's right. Very important.
So it's like having a security camera for your data, recording who did what, when, and where.
In a way, yes. Logging data events is crucial for investigations, audits, and even just understanding how your data is being used.
Right.
But logging in the cloud can be more complex than in traditional environments.
How so?
Well, you might not have access to all the logs you're used to, especially in SaaS environments where you have less control over the infrastructure.
Right.
And then there are challenges like time synchronization across different servers, different classification schemes for events, and the importance of identity attribution.
Identity attribution, what's that all about?
It's about being able to definitively link an action to a specific user.
Okay.
If you can't prove who did what, it's difficult to hold anyone accountable for their actions.
That makes sense.
And then there's the issue of log integrity.
Right.
You need to make sure that logs can't be tampered with.
Yeah, a compromised log is about as useful as a chocolate teapot.
Exactly. So what's the solution to all these cloud logging challenges?
Yeah, what is it?
Well, many organizations turn to security information and event management.
Okay.
Or SIEM. Tools.
Zbelm tools. They sound like the superheroes of log management.
They are pretty powerful.
Okay.
SIEM tools centralize logs from multiple sources.
Okay.
Normalize the data.
Right.
And provide powerful analysis and reporting capabilities.
Wow.
They can even automate threat detection and alerting, which is essential for keeping up with that ever-evolving threat landscape.
So they're like the eyes and ears of your cloud environment.
Yes.
Constantly watching for suspicious activity.
That's right.
And alerting you to potential threats.
Yeah. And SIEM tools can help you establish a chain of custody for digital evidence, which is crucial for legal proceedings and investigations.
Right.
Remember, if you can't prove that evidence hasn't been tampered with, it's worthless.
That's a good point.
And didn't you mention something about non-repudiation?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so SIEM tools can also support non-repudiation, which is the ability to prove that someone really did take a specific action.
Right.
In the world of cybersecurity, deniability is a powerful defense.
Yeah.
So being able to prove that someone took an action is essential for holding them accountable.
Right, so SIEM tools are essential for ensuring auditability, traceability, and accountability of data events in the cloud.
Absolutely.
They provide the visibility and control you need to track down bad guys. Protect your data and meet your compliance obligations.
They really do.
We've covered a lot of ground in this section.
We have.
From data retention and deletion policies to the power of SIEM tools.
It's been a great discussion.
It really has. But let's wrap it up here and pick back up in the final part of our deep dive.
Okay.
Where we'll recap the key takeaways and leave you with some thought-provoking questions to ponder.
Sounds good.
Welcome back for the final part of our deep dive into cloud data security. We've covered a lot of ground, from understanding that data lifecycle to exploring those powerful SIEM tools.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind.
It has been a whirlwind.
But a necessary one if you want to keep your data safe in the cloud.
Absolutely. But before we wrap things up, let's rewind and highlight some of the key takeaways from our exploration.
Good idea.
There's been a lot of information, and I want to make sure we're all leaving with some actionable insights.
Of course, yeah.
So first and foremost, let's reiterate that cloud data security is a shared responsibility.
That's right. It's not just handing over your data to a cloud provider.
Right.
And assuming they'll handle everything.
Yeah, you have a role to play too.
You do.
So it's crucial to understand those different service models.
Right.
IS, POIS, and SaaS, and how they impact your security responsibilities.
Yes, the level of control you have and therefore the security measures you need to implement will vary depending on the model you choose.
And speaking of choosing, remember that selecting the right security tools and technologies is key.
It is.
You know, it's not a one-size-fits-all situation.
Right. Your choices should be based on your specific needs.
Right.
And the sensitivity of the data you're dealing with.
Now, speaking of sensitive data, we can't forget about data classification.
Yeah, it's like creating a roadmap for your security efforts.
Okay.
It's all about identifying your crown jewels, that data that's most critical to your business.
Right.
And applying the strongest protections to those assets.
Like you wouldn't protect a priceless diamond the same way you'd protect a simple piece of costume jewelry.
Exactly, exactly.
And once you've classified your data, don't forget those data labels.
The labels, those are important.
Right, they're like those little warning signs you see on hazardous materials, letting people know how to handle them safely.
That's right. Data labels help guide everyone who interacts with data towards the right security practices.
Right.
They signal the sensitivity of the information and the level of protection that's required.
Now, we also spent some time talking about data discovery.
We did.
And I think that's a process people often underestimate.
I agree. Data discovery is all about getting a clear picture of your data landscape.
Right.
Knowing what data you have, where it's located, and who has access to it.
So it's like shining a light into every corner of your digital house.
Yeah.
To make sure you're aware of all your valuables.
You got it.
Okay, let's shift gears to one of the most fundamental security technologies. Encryption.
Yeah, encryption's a must-have for protecting data confidentiality.
It's like the ultimate bodyguard for your data.
It really is. It transforms your data into unreadable gibberish without that correct decryption key.
Right, but remember,
encryption
is only as strong as your key management practices.
Absolutely. Those keys are the key to the kingdom, so to speak.
Right. If those keys fall into the wrong hands, your encryption is practically useless.
Pretty much.
And speaking of data protection, we can't forget about hashing.
Right. Hashing is like a digital fingerprint that verifies data integrity.
Okay.
Ensuring it hasn't been tampered with.
So it's like a silent watchdog.
Yeah.
Constantly monitoring your data.
That's right.
And alerting you if even a single bit changes.
Exactly. Essential for data authenticity and integrity.
We also explored data loss prevention.
Yes, DLP.
Or DLP.
Right.
Which acts like a gatekeeper for your sensitive information.
Yeah.
Monitoring and controlling its flow.
DLP is especially important in the cloud, where data can easily move between different systems and environments.
Okay.
It helps prevent sensitive information from leaving your control.
And we can't forget those clever techniques like data masking and tokenization.
Oh, yeah. Those are good ones.
Which disguise sensitive data.
Right.
Without disrupting your business processes.
It's all about finding ways to protect data without hindering its usefulness.
Now, shifting gears a bit, we spent a good chunk of time discussing data retention and deletion policies.
We did.
A topic that's often overlooked, but incredibly important.
Very important.
These policies are the rules of the road for managing your data.
Yeah.
Throughout its life cycle.
That's right. They help you strike that balance between keeping what you need,
right,
deleting what you don't,
right,
and ensuring you comply with legal and regulatory requirements.
And those legal holds can really throw a wrench into your plans.
They can.
They highlight the importance of having robust systems and processes.
Absolutely.
For managing data retention in the face of legal or regulatory actions.
That's right.
And finally, we uncover the power of SIEM tools for ensuring auditability, traceability, and accountability in the cloud.
Those SIEM tools are powerful.
They are. It's like having a team of detectives on call.
Yeah.
Ready to investigate any suspicious activity and provide a detailed account of what happened, when, and who was involved.
They're essential for maintaining visibility and control in a complex cloud environment.
So what does all of this mean for you, the listener? What can you take away from this deep dive and apply to your own work?
I think it boils down to this. Be proactive, not reactive.
Okay.
Don't wait for a data breach to happen before you start thinking about cloud data security.
Right. Start by assessing your current security posture.
That's a good first step.
Identify your risks.
Yes.
Understand your responsibilities in the shared responsibility model.
Uh-huh.
And choose the right tools and technologies to mitigate those risks.
That's right. And don't be afraid to ask for help.
Right.
There are experts out there who can guide you through this complex landscape.
Remember, knowledge is power. And In the world of cybersecurity, knowledge is your best defense.
Absolutely. We've explored many technical safeguards in this deep dive.
Right.
But here's a final thought-provoking question for you to consider.
Okay, hit me.
What about the human factor?
Oh, that's a good one.
Even with the most sophisticated security technology,
human
error or malicious insiders can bypass those safeguards.
It's true. Mm. So how can you foster a culture of data security within your organization? How can you empower your employees to be part of the solution, not the problem? That's something to think about.
That's a great point. Something to ponder.
It's been a fantastic journey exploring the world of cloud data security with you.
It has.
We hope you found these insights valuable and applicable to your own work.
I hope so.
Until next time, stay safe out there in the cloud.